today on Real Life Radio.
And if we isolate ourselves, then who are we really? See, that's one of the dangers of our culture right now. Keep that in mind, because it's all about your influence. Your witness, we would say today. The power of your influence matters.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. We have a newly featured resource for you, and it's written by one of the most influential spiritual leaders of our day, the late Charles Stanley. In his powerful book called The Gift of Forgiveness, Stanley shares the key to personal peace, and he tells us that there is no sin that is so evil that it blocks God's forgiveness, the gift of forgiveness. It reflects the heart of Stanley's ministry and addresses such questions and thoughts as to how to practice forgiveness in all your relationships and how to make forgiveness an ongoing experience in your life.
We so much misunderstand the ministry of forgiveness. Please get a copy of this book for yourself. It will change your life, and you might be surprised to find out that forgiveness actually winds up setting you free.
The Gift of Forgiveness by Charles Stanley. It's our gift to you when you make a donation of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. All you got to do is go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And order your copy today. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues with his series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled The Power of Your Influence. 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, and Paul's response of how the power of our influence matters. You see, the picture we paint with our actions has the power to mold and shape other people. But if God's love influences us, well, our witness to the world will be one of love, compassion, and truth. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that knowledge can puff us up if we let it, but love edifies. God loves us, and the Holy Spirit is inside of us, helping us with what to do and what not to do. Now with his message called The Power of Your Influence, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
And Lord, we pray this morning that as we look into your word, this entire chapter, this eighth chapter of 1 Corinthians, that you would, Lord, not only enable me to speak and teach on it, but Father, more importantly, that all of us together as listeners and hearers of the word of God, would do it. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Church, grab your Bibles this morning and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, a very, very interesting chapter and challenging. And while I'm saying that, it is also extremely current in our world. Don't think for a moment that what Paul's talking about is beyond or somehow has passed in our life. Paul's going to be talking about the really powerless, impotent idols of life. At the same time, the Christian's influence. In fact, the title of the message this morning is The Power of Your Influence. And this is amazing. The Power of Your Influence. Before we read, as we go through this chapter, Paul had received a series of questions from the Corinthian believer, and he's been answering those questions from sexual immorality to marriage to divorce and remarriage to singleness. And all of these things, and now he comes to this topic that might sound a little archaic for us, but it's not at all, and that is, for the Corinthian believer, they had a problem in Corinth, and that was in the church, there were some of those who were growing spiritually more than others, and that's true anywhere, and it led to a little bit of a division when it came to the church as it related to each other, and specifically this, living in Corinth with all of the temples and shrines of the Greek and Babylonian gods that were there, as was the Greek world in Athens and other parts of the world, the Christians had to cope with the influence of a culture that was focused on idols. And you might say, well, what does that have to do with me and my life? It actually does. In their case, this is what happened. Idol worshipers would go to their temples and they would take, for example, a cow. They would take a lamb. Listen, it's true. Some would take pigs and sacrifice them to those gods. And they would put the meat of the animal on an altar. This is still done, by the way, in many parts of the world. And they would go through their worship and then they would leave. Here's the funny part. I'm sorry, but it's funny. They would leave and leave the worship item there. They would go home and then the priest or the maintenance people of those temples would then take the meat and they would receive payment from a local meat market that was very close to the vicinity of the temples and that it would be sold in the market. Now, watch this. The gods demanded the best. So the best lamb you had was the lamb you took to worship. You got it? When that lamb is now removed from the altar, you're gone home already. All the worship's over, and the god that you offered it to, though it has a mouth, can't eat it. It's that God has hands but can't receive it. So what happens? Well, of course, in a free enterprise capitalistic system, you go across the street to the market and you buy it. And you take it home and you barbecue it. And what happened was the Christians figured out, my goodness, the best meat in town, the best steaks, the best pork chops you can get is at the temple markets. It's a good price. It's a good deal. It's good meat. It makes for a great Sunday barbecue after service. Fantastic. The other problem was that a new Christian or a weak Christian, they would think for a moment, oh my goodness, this is the best steak I've ever had. Where'd you get it? You couldn't say Costco. You couldn't say anything like that. You would say, oh, you know, Jimmy's temple pork shop chop down the street here. And as soon as the young believer or the weak believer heard that, he would want to throw up. He would want to get it out of his system. Why? Because he's thinking that he just partook of part of a worship system of pagans. He thought that by this animal being... Now look, who made the animal in real life? God did. And it's offered to an idol. We'll see in a moment. Are idols real? Paul says, no, idols aren't real. We make them real in our minds, but they're not real. And so you got all this stuff going on, and you've got the young believer saying, I can't eat that. That offends me. And you say, well, how does that affect me in my culture today? Oh, there are areas of our lives, and we'll see them, some of them. But I pray God will speak to you about what it is in your life that's either A, an idol, or B, in your Christian freedom and liberty, that you're careful about that liberty, that it doesn't offend or destroy the faith of a young or weak believer. Christian family, listen. 21st century westernized Christianity is a far cry from the first century. We too often live isolated lives. What we think, what we say, where we go, what we do is almost in a compartment all unto itself. And listen, in church, it's not really like that in real life. We shouldn't live secret lives. I remember years ago, 20 years ago, I had a pastor tell me, I won't mention the person's name. He said, you know, when your little home fellowship grows and God blesses it and it gets bigger and stuff, you know, you're probably going to want to not live in the town near the people. And I never stopped to ask him why. I wish I would have asked. I was just like, oh, okay, yeah, right, all right. And later on, I thought about, well, that's weird counsel to be a pastor of a church, but to not live in or among your people. What kind of deal is that? It's the opposite of what Jesus did, right? And later on, I found out that what he meant was, well, listen, people have a tendency to put pastors and teachers and stuff up on a pedestal, and if you offend them in any way, then it shatters their ability to receive the word of God from you. Now, look, I understand now what he's talking about. But instead of living an isolated life, which is not good for a pastor or good for any of the people, you shouldn't live an isolated life. You should live a public life. A personal life, yes, but public because we are sheep of the same pasture. And if we isolate ourselves, then who are we really? See, that's one of the dangers of our culture right now. Keep that in mind because it's all about your influence. Your witness, we would say today. The power of your influence matters. So mark it down if you would. Number one, the power of your influence is found in verses 1-6, and it's this way. And now I want you to be thinking about this, about how God's love influences us. Us as a church, God's love influences us. Mark that down. The Bible tells us, and I want to know down deep inside, how does this influence you? And as I read these few verses that we as a church are very familiar with, but maybe you're in the room this morning and you're not a Christian. How does this influence you? In other words, what does it make you think about God's love and how it influences us? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Look at the key thrust, for God so loved, and you can put your name right there. Question, how does that influence us? God's love, you gotta ask yourself, does it? Secondly, Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated, made known, revealed his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That ought to put a smile on your face if you get it. How does that influence you? And then one of my favorite verses, God speaks to this often in my heart. Jeremiah 31:3, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. That's pretty big, isn't it? Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. The word in Hebrew means that because of God's love, he's constantly pulling on you. Sometimes that's comfortable and sometimes it's uncomfortable. God is pulling. Why? Listen, love drives God. The Bible says that God himself is what? Love. And he's pulling on you. He's drawing you. Why? Because he is a lover of your soul. It is his heart to pull you to himself. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. Oh, Lord, so then pull me. And God says to you this morning, I am pulling you. Stop resisting me. Sometimes we want the love of God expressed in our lives, but we're dragging our heels all along the way. Some things that we need to understand this morning. Mark it down. Here we go. How God's love influences us this way. Number one is that God's love is bigger. God's love is bigger than what any idol or perceived idol in this world can afford us. Verse one, now concerning things offered to idols, you know that we all have knowledge. This word knowledge means knowledge revealed to us by God. He's talking to believers.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Knowledge puffs up. He means this. Knowledge puffs up if that's all you got. Look at the next statement. But love edifies. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet, as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by God. Awesome verse, meaning this, that God's love is bigger. Church, check this out. If somebody says, well, you know what? I've read the Bible 1,000 times through and I can quote or I can recite any part of it and I know everything about God. Okay, number one, if anybody makes that comment, everyone else in the room knows that they're a lunatic. There is no way that we can fathom the depth of God. We have a hard time believing in full God's love for us. And so when somebody says, I know all that needs to be known, number one, that person has been puffed up. The word in Greek means his air has been filled, or his head has been filled with air. But, notice the but right there, but love edifies. This is the thrust of the entire chapter. You can know anything and you can be, listen, doctrinally perfect in your knowledge. But if you don't have love, remember what Jesus said about loving one another? Do you remember what Paul said? That if we have all the wisdom of the world but have not love, it doesn't matter. We can know everything about God. We can know everything about the Bible. But if we don't take it out of the theoretical realm and do the but love part edifies, we are absolutely worthless. Now, I don't mean to offend anybody when I say this. We don't give a hoot about a theologian sitting in his office, twiddling his thumbs to try to decipher this, that, or the other thing, unless that theologian gets out of his office and lives among us. Because just knowledge does nothing for you and I. It only works if you take that knowledge, what you know as a Christian, and put it into practice. That's why, listen, spectator Christianity is the scourge of the church. When we don't get involved, you know how Before we were Christians, we would come down the freeway off ramp and there would be a guy standing there with a sign that said, I'm hungry, feed me or something, you know? And what would we do? We would speed up or we would look the other way as we drove past. Why? Because we didn't want to acknowledge that person being there. Why? Because it makes us feel uncomfortable. That's a homeless guy. You say, oh, pastor, that's the issue. Is he homeless or is he rich? Because I've seen people on TV who make $100,000 a year doing that. I understand that. I saw the same program you did. The thing is, how do we know? We don't know. Watch this. I'm serious. If you're a theologian, you don't have to be a Christian to be a theologian. If you're a theologian only in knowledge, you'll see the need and you'll just keep going by. You might even say, oh God, I hope somebody helps that guy. But if you're a Christian, you know what you do? You help the guy. And you no longer, have we not given up? That guy's a bum. This is a scam. He's probably going to go buy alcohol with it. We've given up on that. Forget it. We'll never know. I would rather, and I highly recommend this, try to keep some change in your car, some dollar bills. When you see that guy, grab a dollar bill or a $5 bill, and here's what you're going to do as a Christian. It's very effective. Pull over. Pull out your $5 and say, hey, come over here. Listen, I'm going to give this to you. And the guy's going like this. I'm going to give this to you in a minute. The Bible says that God loves you, that he has an awesome plan for your life, that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and you don't have to live like this. In fact, the Bible says the righteous shall never be seen begging bread. And you're begging bread, dude. And listen, God did not make you for this life. You're missing it, and it all begins with your sins being forgiven by you recognizing Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose again from the grave, and he is your salvation. Now, here's the deal. And you go like this the whole time as you're giving it to him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. Give him the $5 and then drive away. You say, Pastor, are you crazy? I just lost $5. No, you didn't. It was the best investment you can ever make. Well, no matter what that guy does, you paid $5, only $5, which is really worth like $3.25 now. You only paid like $3.25 to give that guy the eternal truth of God. You gave him the road to salvation. He didn't get $5 from you. You paid $5 to give the guy the gospel. That is a very, very cheap, inexpensive outreach. And it comes out of your mouth. It comes out of your car. And we can all do that. And listen, we part with $5 for lesser things. It's very important that we understand that. God's love is bigger. Jot that down. God's love is bigger because, listen, it causes us to love one another. That's the key. He says in verse 2, and if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. Verse 3 says, but if anyone loves God, this one is known by him or by God. The Bible says that in 1 John 2:27, that we have the anointing. The word anointing, by the way, is a reference to the Holy Spirit theologically. It's awesome. But the anointing which you have or you have received from him abides in you. The Holy Spirit abides, lives inside a believer. And you do not need that anyone teach you. The Holy Spirit governs over the life of the Christian. And at the church at Corinth, the issue was whatever is going on in the church, you can argue and make argument, but you better be loving. And so he's going to address this issue about idols and about food to eat. You know what's interesting? A little side note. We're talking about the Grecian Empire, the Greek Empire. Church, listen, you think you're smart, huh? You think our culture's smart? We have actually become dumber as time has gone on. The things that the Greeks invented, you're enjoying them today. And we get a little heady. We read a half a book and think we're an expert on something. Think about it. You say, where are you going with this? Watch this. They were very, very brilliant people. Just for fun, they were bilingual, just for fun. And in that same culture, they had all of these gods in these pagan temples. And you think they might be ignorant. By the way, let me tell you, historically, did you know that atheism is relatively new religion? Atheism. Are you an atheist today? Listen, you have more faith than all of us combined. Because you have faith in something that you can't identify, you don't know, and you deny the existence of God because you think you know better. You don't know much, but you know this, that the God that we believe in cannot exist, but you do have a religious system, and that is, there is no God. That's a religious statement. The amazing thing is atheism's relatively young and new. It came out of the communist way of thinking that man will do this, man will establish, man will create. Cultures, up until recently, all of them believed in a god or gods. These Greeks who had all of these gods in their life, they were no dummies. They were much more highly educated than most of us. They believed in gods or a god. So it's not an intellectual issue. It's a spiritual issue. And I want you to consider this morning how big God's love is for us. And so the scripture also tells us in a very powerful way. 1 John 4:7. It's a very, very popular verse. 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another. Why? For or because the love of God is this, that everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So how can I know if I'm growing as a Christian? That's Paul's question. If he would ask a question of the church at Corinth, is how do you know you're growing? The answer is not by what you know. It's by putting into practice what you know. So God's love is bigger. So church, right now as Christians, we need to take what's coming in this study and apply the fact that God's love in my life is big. It's all powerful. Secondly, it's this verse 4, that God's love is brighter. It illuminates. He says, therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, listen to what Paul's assessment is of idols. We know that an idol is nothing in the world and that there is no other God but one. That is awesome. In that day, in their city, in those temples, there's Jupiter. Venus is there. Mercury's there. Atlantis is there. Diana is there. They're all made out of wood or stone. Some of them have gold overlay on them. And notice that they look like humans. But they've been deified. They've got, for example, who's the guy with wings on his feet? Is that Mercury? He's got wings on his feet because he's so fast. And these various gods, in the area of their authority, they had attributes that indicated their great prowess over that part of the world. And you would worship that god. Understanding this, that when the news came to the Corinthians or the Athenians about this one true God, that all the others are fake, that rattled their world. And I want to ask you this morning, very important. We would say, that doesn't apply to me, and God's love is bigger and God's love is brighter. Okay, so what? The illumination. But wait a minute. It is a challenge to us today because we are so often bound up by modern day idols. We go down to the dealership, we buy an idol, we drive it home. And we don't think it's an idol, but then it begins to govern how we run our lives. We begin to, we drive it into the driveway or into the garage, and now the garage is unworthy to house this great thing. We have to call a contractor to panel the garage and to put in special lighting and put some checker flags. And you know what I'm saying? We say, oh, that's not an idol. I'm just taking care of it. You take such great care of it that you park 4 miles away from the store and walk so nobody scratches it. I got to tell you, I'm speaking from experience right now. This week, I planted some flowers. Number one, here's what God's been speaking to me about. Jack, who made the flowers? Well, you did. I planted them. They're in the yard. I said, wow, those look good. Right? Okay, that sounds kind of, hey, Lisa, look at that. What am I doing? Honestly, I should say, Lisa, God allowed Lowe's to have these flowers that he made there. The gasoline he brought out of the earth that drove me down to Lowe's got me back. I put them in his dirt, and look how great they look under his sunshine. It's amazing. No, I'm going, hey, call our friends. Have them come look at this. Why? When people come, oh, that's beautiful. Well, thank you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called The Power of Your Influence. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians, a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, Jack Hibbs truly believes that we are living in some of the most exciting days in history. which brings some great opportunities to share with the world a powerful, no-nonsense presentation of the gospel to this generation who, by the way, are really searching for answers and for truth. Will you stand with us in sharing this message in real and practical ways? We ask that you commit to support Real Life and the teachings of Jack Hibbs with a gift of your choosing. Simply go to jackhibbs.com. There you'll find instructions on how to give a one-time gift or a recurring gift. If you'd prefer to call, here's that phone number, 877-777-2346. One more time, 877-777-2346. Your gift will be faithfully put to work because it's our desire that through Jesus Christ, you will know real life. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.